Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Good evening, and welcome everyone to Booker T. Washington Speaks, a forum, the African Family Room, where we're having a real serious discussion today. My name is Dr. Haleem Mustafa, your co-host, just standing in at the moment here. Our professor will be on very shortly as our host and moderator, and we have a very, very exciting topic this evening to discuss and just come to grips with. I want to say before we begin, we would like to join me in prayer, please. And I'm going to say it in Arabic, and I'll say it in English, and this gets us started here, okay? A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahir rabbil alamin. Ar-Rahman Nir-Rahim Maliki Yawmiddin Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in Ihdina Sirata Mustaqim Sirata Allazina An'amta Alayhim Ghayril Maghdubi Do be Allahim Walatolim Amin. Translation from Arabic to English is we seek refuge, protection with God from the accursed devil Satan. With the name of God, Allah, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to our God, Allah. Most gracious, most merciful Master of Day of Judgment, thee alone do we worship, and thy aid do we seek. Show us the straight way, the way on those whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion is not wrath and who go not astray in their service to you, Almighty God. Amen. 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 Let it be so. Again, this is Haleem, the Dream Builder, Doctor of Self-Esteem, welcoming you to another weekly show here of Classroom. And the topic for tonight is a very serious topic that really has a connection to a very historic moment in our history. The topic reads as follows. Does the ethnic African-American community still have the vision for its future that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had 50 years ago? I want to read that one more time because it really felt really good to my soul to dig into history through this topic. And let me say it again. Does the ethnic African-American community still have the vision for its future that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had 50 years ago? So in any event, that's our topic tonight, and I'm going to ask the question. Well, before I do that, I want to say that Haleem Dream Builder, I now have an independent blog now that we've established, and thanks to the professor here who has been sponsoring Life Success Radio, a program that I do every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And so we actually now will be having Life Success Radio with a new call-in number for people who want to call in to join in the conversation. So, whole effort will be to address ways to support young people to become leaders in entrepreneurship and business and politics and just, you know, very active socially. So I'll announce that number later, but right now I'm going to check and see if our professor has arrived. He has is ready to do a thing. So, Professor, are you on the line right now, sir?
Yes, I am. I am. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. It's a beautiful, transmission, sir. So
okay.
I just want to let you know.
Yeah, yeah. We're ready. We certainly thank you for that introduction, but what I'd like to ask you to do is give our audience a little more information about some of the things that you we'll be discussing on your radio program, Life Success Radio. Let them know something about your guest list, people that have been on your show, and people that you anticipate coming on your show, and some of the things that they're going to talk about, because we like to steer as much traffic to your show as we possibly can on this show. We want to support your show. So just give them a little bit more background about yourself and what you're doing and what you'll be doing with the show.
Okay, wonderful. I guess for starting myself, I'm actually a native Californian, born and raised, I've engaged myself. I grew up in my local town, and I became a professional baseball player after being graduated from high school. I pursued a baseball career. It didn't happen as I had anticipated, and I came back from a disappointing season, and I committed my life to actually finding ways to get young people to not focus so much on the athletics as their only way out of the quote-unquote ghetto. So in doing so, it took me through a lot of different learning experiences, and I utilized a lot of music to keep me motivated with a purpose. And so and over the years, I developed what became ran into a situation, a very notable historical fact of a federal holiday that was given to Dr. George Washington Carver in 1945 by Congress. This law was a very, surprise to me that this law existed. It's called Public Law 290. It was issued by the 79th United States Congress under President Harry S. Truman. And the federal law mandated that on January 5th, all federal buildings were to fly flags half-staff in recognition to the life legacy and the resource support that Dr. Carver gave to America. But I know that is bigger than America, because Dr. Carver was a world citizen. So that triggered me on another really serious journey, and I was able to organize an organization called the Healing, H-E-A-L-I-N-G, Institute. It was actually for jobs, recovery, academics, and housing, and it was actually set to be a community, community agency that receives support as a community development corporation under what was a federal, I won't go so deep on this, but I'll explain. So anything, we developed this program that became an award-winning program called the Carver Scholars Program out of Santa Clara. And investors, corporations such as Intel and IBM and Apple and any company you can think of in Silicon Valley, which is global for its technology leadership, supported our efforts, and we developed this program, and it helped young people, mostly African Americans, focus on the scientific process, because there was a drop off in young people at that time in Santa Clara County, by San Jose, which is Silicon Valley, that there was not a level of competitiveness in the ideas of science, technology, engineering, and math. So we actually provided such a good solution that it became a national model for STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and math. And we had President Clinton endorsed us, a videotape from the White House, acknowledging the efforts of the Healing Institute and the Santa Clara Alliance of Black School Educators in the effort for pulling off what was a very historic effort to bring science, technology, engineering, and math into the urban communities to help children from ethnic that had been left behind. So all that we actually provided solutions for and became the model for STEM. And we also, from that point, had an idea to develop a stepping stone into the next level as the young people left high school and became, in high school, we wanted them to become world peace ambassadors. That was the final step for them. And under that final step, world peace ambassadors, we call them modern day achievers, MDA. So the idea is to grow leadership from our community that can contribute to the things that help us remain competitive in what is world standards of doing for self. As you understand, a lot of times in the black community, there's a lack for us to have anything that's like planned and being done in leadership basis where we're setting a standard of what other people are following, especially in business, right? So what we're doing right now with what I've started here in Texas now, which is morphing to this national function, we are implementing again the efforts of the Carver, Dr. George Washington Carver Federal Recognition Day, and we have a telethon being planned for January 5th 2019. So right now we are in a marketing phase, and we've been doing this for the whole year, 2018. And by 2019, we hope to have the country and the world really on fire, not with destruction, but fire with purification and love, to appreciate the cultural difference of people who have contributed to America. And Dr. Carver is just one example. So there's more to be said, but I want to say that anyone that would love to reach me and would talk further on this, and more of them talk, we'll work together on whatever it is that you might have in your community that needs some help. And we, what we're doing, are looking to be of good service as humanitarians, just in the, under the ideals of what Dr. Carver represented, which we can show our young people how to model. It's very important that we stop talking about these things and start doing these things, because right now there's too much pain in our communities, and you know what I'm talking about in terms of the economic pains, the academic pains, the spiritual, religious pains, and all the separations that's keeping us from moving forward and being competitive just like everyone else in today's society. So that's the summation, sir, of what some of the things we've done, doing, and continue to do, and I will certainly note that we have a number calling for our radio show, which is Life Success Radio, and we have Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesdays. Every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, you can phone number of 929-477-3556. That number for the call-in for Life Success Radio is 929-477-3556. And you, on Mondays, we have the show topic under Senior Moments. Senior Moments, and that's for, like, senior citizens. And it's not senior moments like forgetting. It's just senior moments and recognizing that the seniors are the real life wisdom teachers. So that be the topic, and the topics vary. And so we continue in interviewing different people under those topics. Tuesday show is a show that's directed to young people, and it's called EZ, like the letter E and the letter Z. So an EZ generation, which we describe as smart minds making waves to the future. Smart minds making waves to the future. And we actually interview young people to get them to present us with what they have as ideas for their future, because they know better than us what the things that they are, you know, engaged in. We just want to hear them discuss, talk, and have a way to reach them through their generational responsibilities. Because every generation has its own answers to the times that they're growing up in, and I'm really interested in finding this answers that the young people today have for the future here in America and the world. And on Wednesdays, we have a show that's called Blessed to be Blessed, Blessed to be Blessed, and the caption or the theme is we call it Miracle Warriors, Living the Life Without Excuse, right? So the idea that we have people that we interview that are discussing various things, and I'll just give you an example. We had Representative Johnny Ford, who is currently running for state representative in Alabama, and he was the first black mayor of Tuskegee for many, many years, Tuskegee the city, where the university is that Dr. Booker T. Washington built. So that's a historic land. And Representative Johnny Ford has been one of our interviewees and working with us on a structural plan. We have interviewed people across the country that includes business people, politicians, and so we're going to continue to grow that. And we welcome anyone that really want to do something profound in terms of working for our future today to bring about hope in our communities. Because right now, as you walk around or look around and see the TV, you see a lot of pain in the it hurts me to even say this here, because, you know, black people have lost the motivation to want to live and be independent. We have been so subjugated to receiving the hands out or the crumbs from the table that we are accepting these crumbs as the only thing that we are capable of getting or receiving or making, when we in fact have to show our young people that even though the generational disconnect has caused young people to not feel that we are pushing in their best interest, we have to do something right now that's very serious, that's going to engage them on a wave of success so they can take responsibility to lead us to the next level. Because I'm 63, and I'm not saying that we don't have answers, but if we don't demonstrate it, we will show the young people that we are not focused on their future, and so they will be stranded in history if we don't do it. So, Professor, I said a whole lot, and I really just want to say I appreciate you, because it was because of you, sponsoring what Life Success Radio launched through Booker T. Washington Speaks. So you have been very, very instrumental and strategic in terms of things that we needed to do to be relevant. And I appreciate you taking me from my dark stage of being stranded as a homeless person in history. So anyway, Professor, that's it. So I look forward to tonight's show, sir. Professor? Okay. Well, let me see.
Thank you very much. Yeah, can you hear me, Dr.?
Okay. Yes,
yeah,
a lot
okay.
of Christian.
Yeah, that's not a problem. But I just want to announce that we have our dear sister-in-law and friend and supporter online, and I just want to announce to her, in case you missed it, what the topic is for tonight. But the topic for tonight, Stephanie, is does today's ethnic African-American community still have the vision for our life, our community life, and our personal lives that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had 50 years ago? We know that nearly 50 years ago, actually in about 4 months, it'll be 50 years, we lost Dr. Martin Luther King physically, but we'll never lose him spiritually. But we know he did have a vision for our people. He said he'd been to the mountaintop, and he looked over and he'd seen the promised land. So that vision was a strong vision 50 years ago, but we want to know, what do you think? Do you think that vision is still there? And if it's changed, what has changed and why has it changed? But before you answer, I do want to mention that due to a small technical issue, if we if this line drops, just wait until 8:30 p.m. and dial in again, and it'll be right back up. But I don't anticipate that it's going to drop. But if it happens to drop, just wait till the clock says it's 8:30, and then dial on again. We got it set up to definitely be on at 8:30 in case it drops out between now and then, which I don't really anticipate. But anyway, so Stephanie, did you hear the topic that I just read?
Yes, I did. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. Go right ahead.
Okay, thank you. Thank you all for having me on here. This is Stephanie Benson Runnels, and yes, I do. I think I see a lot of change, and that we are still pushing forward. The change may not be as fast as a lot of us would like for it to be, but with every time I turn on my television, the black music is in the background of almost all of the commercials. I see black doctors, black lawyers, black judges, teachers, entertainers, and the colleges are just full of black students. I see black people engaging in every entity of the workforce and in churches, and I think that we are moving forward. Now, there are some that are left behind, no doubt. And for that, I read you Proverbs 1:29-30, where it says, "For they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices." You see, so those who reject the truth which God reveals to us and chose to walk in their own way are in danger of being able to walk in their own way, in their own paths, and live that way. It is very important, like the young man said, for us to continually not only to encourage our young people, but to be doers, not just speakers and hearers, but to be examples. You know, I am so proud. I have a granddaughter who is in college to be a scientific forensic pathologist. We only have 5 of them in the country. She wants to be number 6. She's in Hades right now on something like internship or something. She has gotten her bachelor's degree, and she's going for her master's now and her doctorate. But she does nothing without God. Okay, and I'm not trying to change anyone's faith or anything, because I personally uphold each individual's faith and your path and your road that leads you to God, as long as it works for you and you're receiving those blessings, because in my Bible, it tells us different ways of serving all the same Lord, different ways of ministry, all the same God. And that is in the 1 Corinthians 12, verse 5. And also in Corinthians 10, verse 30, so why should I be ill-spoken of for the food that I give thanks? So we don't do that. We're just thankful to all. You know, I want to say one more thing. I was on Facebook, and there was a picture depicting Jesus Christ. And this white man with his blue eyes and long flowing hair, and it was a sign with his picture that said, "I am knocking. Will you let me in?" And all of the people, God bless their hearts, they were saying, "Yes, yes, I will." And I got on there and I said, "No, I will not let you in, but I will let the real Jesus in." And so they would not be offended, I let them know. They can find a description of Jesus in Isaiah 53, verse 2. I let them know I love Jesus. I love Jesus with all my heart, because if it were not for Jesus, I don't know where I would be. I know I wouldn't be a saved person. That is the way that I was taught to change over, to love, to be Christian-like. I learned all these from Jesus' ways. And the same way you all learned all that from the blessed Holy Quran. And but back on the subject, yes, I do see some change, and I am ever so thankful for it. And I try to lead by example also, you know. Okay, that's all I have to say for right now. Thank you for listening.
Okay, thank you so much, Stephanie. We want to say we always deeply appreciate your comments, your well thought out and very, very sincere contributions to this program. And we want to go ahead and we want to reiterate the topic for any of those who may be listening via the internet. And of course, the topic is does today's ethnic African American community still have the vision for our life as a community and individually that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had 50 years ago? I want to share a little something with our audience. Can everybody hear me? Hello?
Yes,
loud and clear. Loud and clear. Loud and clear.
Good.
Loud and clear, sir.
First of all, 50 years ago, in 1968, I was 24 years old. Actually, I was going on 24 years old. Oh, no, let us see. I was going on 25 years old. So I was 24 years old when I got the news that Martin Luther King had been murdered. I was over in Atlanta, Georgia, working, and I just happened to have stopped in for lunch at a restaurant on what used to be called Hunter Street, and now it's called Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. And I haven't been on Martin Luther King Boulevard in several years. I used to go over there several times a year, and it's been a while since I've been over there. But when I did go over there, it didn't look the same as I remember it when Martin Luther King used to eat lunch over there on that same street when it used to be Hunter Street. Something had happened because in 1968, Hunter Street was a very thriving, prosperous hub of black business activity in Atlanta. Real integration had not yet come to Atlanta. Maynard Jackson, who became Atlanta's first black mayor, had run for the U.S. Senate against a diehard racist by the name of Herman Talmadge. And he lost because Herman Talmadge had a machine that couldn't be beaten at that time. But he did become well known because of his machine that he created, of which I was fortunate to have been invited to become a part of it, and I did help with his campaign. But during that time, I visited many African-American businesses to promote my insurance agency, which I was just getting started, and B, to promote the candidacy of Maynard Jackson. And I was impressed. I was really impressed with the activity. Some of the businesses were one or two person shops, and some of them were larger. Some of them grew to be big enough for white companies to buy them out. But the fact is that there was a spirit that had begun long before the civil rights movement, that had begun probably back at the turn of the century from the 1800s to the 1900s, and maybe even before. And the African-American community was really, really impressive to watch as it strove towards having real, real economic prosperity, real freedom, real justice, and real economy. Now, we're waiting for the recount, those of us that care, and I care, because my son has been working on the campaign for the African-American lady that's running for the mayorship of Atlanta. And so we don't know yet. We won't know until probably Monday at the earliest who is going to be the next mayor of Atlanta. But you know, the truth of the matter is that it shouldn't even have been a recount, because the fact of the matter is that metropolitan Atlanta is predominantly, or at least to a large extent, African American. Now, there is gentrification going on in Atlanta, but people from Chamblee and some of the other suburbs are moving back into Atlanta, trying to take advantage of some of that prime real estate that's being made available for various reasons, as a result of various things. But the thing about it is, right now, it should have been easy for a person, in this case, Keisha Bottoms, to become elected. But as we saw in the election of Donald Trump, and before that, in the election of a Democratic legislature that failed, because the Republicans went to the polls in 2010 and again in 2014
And I went to the polls, and I saw very few African Americans standing at the voting booths. They stood in line for 3 or 4 hours in 2008 and again in 2012. But when it came time to actually put people in the legislature, or the House of Representatives, the Congress, to help pass the legislation that Obama had proposed, they didn't show up. Now, I don't have any statistics, but I have a feeling, just a feeling, that if you go out into the black community, except for maybe the what I would call bourgeoisie community, they tend to vote in a mayoral contest in Atlanta. But if you go out into the common everyday black community and you ask a lot of our people if they went to vote at all, and if they did go to vote, did they vote for Ms. Bottoms? I have a feeling, just based on the results, that you'll find that a lot of our people didn't even go and vote, because maybe past mayors haven't really changed their lives any. You know, we've had some good people down there. We had Mayor Jackson for a number of years. We had Andrew Young, and we've had a number of others, Shirley Franklin, Bill Campbell, and others that could have done a lot, and they did as much as they probably were allowed to do. But here we are, and I'm just wondering if a lot of our people have given up hope that the political arena will bring them a better life. What do y'all think about that?
Sir, that question, this is Dr. Mustafa. I just want to say that the question is that the hope is certainly not as great. And I appreciate the progress that has been made that the sister talked about, which is very relevant. But the fact is there's a subtlety undertow that we don't see, right? And the undertow, unfortunately, is a racist system that actually modulates what they want to happen through certain, you know, behavior, marketing, promotions, like be happy in a commercial. And this becomes a campaign of people saying, be happy, right? And then it says, be healthy, all these different things. It's a subtlety that's promoting culturally the dominant culture in this country, despite the fact that we're making some progress as blacks, but we're not doing it in a leadership way. We're following other people instead of our own vision and spirit for what our people need. And so anything that we're doing right now, if we don't take an independent course and make it applicable to what we have need for, we cannot imitate white people, and I'm saying this respectfully, we can't imitate Chinese people. We can't imitate Mexican people. We have to take what is in ourselves and bring that out to do for self in the way that our history has shown in Dr. Booker T. Washington's efforts of bringing the responsibility and work at Tuskegee to get young people, students active in the future to build products and stuff to sell and be competitive just like everyone else. But today that's not there. We just surface, put one person in commercial, put one person in a political office, and then that becomes a symbol that you were here. But that's not the reality of our people's progress, and that's what I have to say on that, sir.
Hello?
Professor? Yes, Professor. Okay.
Thank you.
Well, let me just continue. So, Stephanie, you know, I was saying that I appreciate what you presented, but I know that there are a lot of surface things, commercials, that are placating on the psyche of the people that we've made it, and we haven't made anything because we have our communities dysfunctional. That's what I was saying.
So, Stephanie, what do you
Thank
think?
You. I agree with him. No, we have not made it. We are far from being to that point that we have made it. But I'm just saying we have come a long way. My parents drilled it in our head, and I know you all have heard the same thing. You have to crawl before you walk. And this, I know it's a slow process. It's been being a slow process, but I see progress. I really do. I see a lot where there's a lot of room for more progress. Also, you know, let me share a poem with you all that I wrote about 30 years ago. It's titled Black Awareness. And it goes, Black Awareness, what does it mean? An example, Martin Luther King. Abraham Lincoln, though he was white, he helped us in our freedom flight. Black awareness, not the color of your skin. It's something that comes from deep within. It's striving to better the human race. Through education, a mind's a terrible thing to waste. Even though slavery days are gone, let's strive to keep each other strong. Remind ourselves from which we came, the long bloodshed, decades of pain. All of this was done for us. We can now sit in front of the bus. Opportunity is at our feet. Take advantage of it. Don't take the back seat. We need to love each other, too. Black awareness needs you. Now, the only problem that I have with pushing too hard, it causes things like uprisings, revolutions, and fighting in the streets. We have to be careful how we do things. It irritates me, too, that we're not going fast enough, but I think we're getting there. But a lot of this, it has to come from right there in the home, because the worst-case scenarios that we see out there, this stuff has started in the home, not being brought up right. Parents not even there, you know. So, and lead a horse to water. In some cases, you just can't make them drink, you know. And that goes back to what I read out of Proverbs, you know. And we continue to pray, and we continue to do what we can, and to encourage others. And to be a good example and a role model. Me, I'm always thinking of inventions. And I know a lot of people down through Black history, a lot of Black people had a lot of good inventions. I've had a couple of inventions stolen. I have an invention now. Now I know the right channels. I just keep going for it. You know, I write books, and I'm a medical assistant. I've never been a governor or anything like that, you know, and nothing really prestigious. I'm proud to say I know a Black female right across town. She is the mayor, Mayor Terry Bellamy. Her maiden name was Whitmire. This young girl made mayor before she turned 30 years old. She's been mayor for quite a few years over there in Asheville, North Carolina. You know, I do see progress. And with this progress, I am so proud. We have so many white people and people of other nationalities who stand up for us today, who help us strive through these struggles. And so let's not beat ourselves up too bad about how things are going. Weigh it out and stay positive with it. We don't want to get on some uprises that will make us go backwards instead of forward. Okay, thank you.
Okay, well, thank you. I want to go ahead and share something. You know, I said that we're going to look at the question of today's African-American community
and whether